Another rainbow crossing painted over, as I said, now been described by police as a hate crime. Aucklanders woke up to the news that the rainbow across Auckland's iconic Karangahape Road had been splashed with paint. A local shop owner said, "K Road, it's a queer, friendly place. Always has been, always is. It's a turanga waiwai for the rainbow community," said the K Road Business Association. It follows similar damage to a rainbow crossing in Gisborne painted over by Destiny Church members. Leader Brian Tamaki didn't take responsibility for the Auckland one, but said whoever did it had, quote, obviously had enough. Meanwhile, rainbow story time for children in public libraries also wrapped up in the so-named culture wars. They've been cancelled in parts of the country on the back of protests. With us to discuss this, Dr. Peter Lynham, a theologian, church historian, has for years written and lectured extensively on the religious history of New Zealand, and his one of his books is called Destiny, The Life and Times of a Self-Made Apostle. Dr. Lynham, nice to have you on the panel.
A pleasure to be with you.
When you first heard about this, saw the images, Dr. Lynham, how did you feel when you awoke to this news?
Oh, I'm just sick in my heart, because this is a very, well, it's profoundly disturbing for people. It's deliberately provocative. It's sad because, I mean, I always see the notion of painting a pedestrian crossing with rainbow colours as saying that just as the pedestrian crossing gives safety for pedestrians to walk across in the face of traffic, so a rainbow painted crossing says that the minority that is LGBT can feel safe in our society. That's the emphasis.
And of course, Dr. Lynham, it's Easter, an important time for Christians and Christianity around the world. And then we get this from a church group, purportedly. It does not feel like an Easter message, I can imagine.
No, there's a certain nastiness to this that sounds more like the people who put Jesus on the cross than the people who want to follow the Jesus on the cross.
Peter, we have a pen with us. They might want questions or thoughts on this. Jenny, starting with you.
Oh, well, I agree completely with you, Dr. Lynham. I mean, it is such heinous behaviour. And I think the thing that has, I think, is so sad about this is how cowardly the latest culprits have been in terms of, you know, wearing the balaclavas and hiding their faces and taking the license plates off. Plates off their vehicles. I mean, that's almost Ku Klux Klan behaviour, being prepared to show such disrespect, but not being afraid to, not being brave enough to say who they are. It's hard to comprehend in 2024 that this sort of behaviour is in our communities. And it's also hard to understand how, if it is being driven by this church, you know, how that sits with them, given their given the Ten Commandments, and I'm sure one of them is something about loving thy neighbour. I mean, it's just hard to comprehend how this, you know, how this happens and how they reconcile that internally within their church structure.
Peter,
what worries me is that culture wars of this kind that are happening a lot in the States at the moment, I mean, they're deliberately provocative, and they use religion as a tool to bring division rather than to bring unity. I'm sure you're right about that.
You might have responses as well. How did you react when you first heard about this or even saw it on Karangahape Road 2101? You can email the panel at rnz.co.nz. Ed Amon, let's bring you in.
Yes, so it is a heinous crime, I would say as well. And it reminds me of my own community in the past being targeted like that. It's akin to finding a pig's head in front of a mosque. It's deliberately hateful. It's not a protest. It's deliberately hateful, which is a stepping stone for future violence. So it really does scare me, and we have to take it very seriously. Dr. Lynham, what do you think? Is it for some people it might seem like just a paint on the street, but what is the significance of it in terms of perpetuating hate?
Oh, I think it is exactly that. It's a provocative step saying that there is no place for acceptance of minorities in New Zealand. And so it's provoking others. And actually, I watched it. I went down to see it painted over. And I was intrigued at some people yelling abuse at other people right there on the spot. And quite a number of the rainbow community were scrawling signs around the pedestrian crossing and nearby with chalk saying love is love and such statements. And a certain amount of abuse there. In a way, I think it's under the surface in our society all the time. And that the parliamentary occupation reminded us that it's got some pretty intense backing.
We are talking to theologian Dr. Peter Lynham. Can I ask you, I think it was just picking up on what Jenny's point is, you know, here we are in 2024, because I'm old enough to remember, and where was Nelson at the time? In the early 80s, the furor surrounding the homosexual law reform, and there's been a certain forgetting of that, how divisive it was. You know, massive petitions presented to Parliament, you know, anti-homosexual petitions and such like. And one thought, well, we might never return to that type of division. And here we go, talking about these painted rainbow crossings now. What do you make of that comparison?
I think we have to be cautious about making that comparison because all the polling suggests that there is a much more tolerant society, at least towards lesbians and gays. I think the trans issue has complicated the situation because there's sharper divisions over that. And it's really very, very difficult for trans people at this time. But in a way, I think this has become a smaller minority, but an angrier minority. So it may be small, but that doesn't stop it being very vociferous.
Andrew's texted in. Oh, keep going, Jenny.
I was just going to say, and they're pretty well organised, aren't they? So it's a very organised hate crime. It's not, as we've seen by what's happened in the last few days, this is three separate incidents. So it's organised, it's deliberate. You know, there's a kind of a movement behind, you know, the church has some sort of, I guess, power or some sort of, they're quite coordinated in what they're doing. It's not just a one-off behaviour, is it?
No, indeed. And of course, you've got to recall that behind this lies Brian Tamaki, who is much less interested in church things and much more interested in politics these days. And he's a pretty well-organized, astute kind of person in cultivating interest in his own concerns.
Andrew has texted him, Wallace, the recent actions of Destiny Church have influenced my thinking, but not in the way they hope. This week, for the first time, I've made a donation to Rainbow Youth. Keep that feedback coming, 2101. You can email the panel at rnz.co.nz. I mentioned at the start, you wrote a book. This is 2013, I think, for Penguin Books. Destiny, the Life and Times of a Self-Made Apostle. And it was a real deep dive into Destiny, who they are, what they believe in. Was the Brian Tamaki you interviewed for your book back then the same Brian Tamaki today, do you think, Dr. Lynham?
Well, there's always been two aspects to Brian Tamaki. One is the person who courts public media attention. And you'll recall back in 2004, 2005, his incredibly vicious statements towards Helen Clark as Prime Minister and his rejection of women in leadership and his intense statements around the LGBT and prostitutes reform of that time. So there's a part of him that goes towards very strong political statements, and that part hasn't changed that much. What I think happens is there's a differing degree of concentration on the church. Around 2013, they had paid quite dearly in terms of support for the church by all their politics. Actually, a lot of church people, this is good to say, felt uncomfortable about a church that breeds on politics. And these days, I think we see that Brian does little else, judging by his column on Twitter, which I read. He's endlessly commenting on politics.
Are they interested in scripture? Are they interested in morality? What drives them?
Yes, I think there is a kind of moral protest involved in it. It's a conservative moral protest that says that New Zealand is heading towards social and moral decay. And they believe, and in a fairly intense kind of nationalism of the kind we've seen coming up in the States recently, of Christian nationalism, that New Zealand is God's own country and it's got to be protected on this, and that God will come down in heavy judgment on the people who behave like this. So, yeah, I think one has to accept that there are room for a whole variety of opinions, even some that I think are complete rubbish. They have a right to have those opinions. Mm. It's just how they express it that has to be considered so much more carefully. Mm.
Just picking up, Peter, on that cultural aspect, because in the, as you say, in the US, there is that intersection, isn't there, of culture wars having a very strong conservative religious component, and very strong in parts in some states. Is that what is now being echoed in this country more and more?
Oh, it has been for quite a long time.
Right.
But the only thing we have to remember is that Trump may get elected at the end of 2024. There's no chance, I think, that Brian Tumlick is going to be elected for anything.
Finally,
is it the cynicism of the leadership, or the leadership is delusional in its beliefs as well? Does Brian Tamaki know that he's using the feelings and insecurities of the people that follow him, or he actually is a solid believer in the things that he says?
It's very interesting talking to him. There's a bit of both in the way he talks to you. He is morally outraged, but he's also aware that this is his audience that he needs to feed with these concerns.
Finally, Peter, you're a theologian, church historian, you've written extensively on religious history here, but you're also a member of the LGBTQI+ community. What message would you give, Dr. Lynam, to the community this evening?
I'd remind them that the greatest themes of Christianity, as indeed with many religions, is always about love and forgiveness and hope. And we need to hang on to those themes at this very present moment. Easter's really right on the ball.
And happy Easter to you, Peter.
Thank you.
Dr. Peter Lynam, theologian, church historian, for years written on religious history, and wrote a book back in 2013 called Destiny, The Life and Times of a Self-Made Apostle. 2101, that is the number to text. That interview, by the way, will be up online, rnz.co.nz/thepanel, if you want to share it or replay it at any time you want.